Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This is a Ray review featuring Go Home Heat Kid Ray, Lit Nick, and me, KP. Now, we're going to go through, this is a Ray review of SmackDown and Raw. We're going to have to kind of go backwards in order to make it all make sense, and I think you'll understand it when we get done. Now, what did we just see? The reason why I wanted to go backwards was because of how great what we just saw was. Did we just see the making of a star?
Yes, I do believe Eric Rowan has found the key to reaching his full potential. I believe, which is weird because in every other faction that he's been in, especially the Wyatt family being the most prevalent one, I always found him the least wrestler. I don't know how to put it, but...
The least wrestler?
I don't know how to put it.
Not the best worker
not,
of
not
the bunch.
Not the best worker of the bunch, because out of Bray Wyatt... It's understandable, because both Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper are great workers.
Right, and when he's in there with Daniel Bryan, obviously Daniel Bryan's the best in the biz, so again, he's held back a little bit in that scenario. Now, what we had happen here was Daniel Bryan comes out, he gives his promo, and we think, okay, we're going to get a showdown between Daniel Bryan and Roman, which is going to set up Clash of Champions with Rowan. He gives this promo. Roman starts walking to the ring. Rowan jumps him, pummels him, picks up the mic, and begins to talk. And what does he say, Nick?
He just has a really good promo is what he does. He just says, it was me. No, does that surprise? I enjoyed what I did.
I liked what I did, and Daniel didn't tell me to do it. This was all me, which was him announcing his independence along with picking up a microphone for really the first time we've ever, even with the Bludgeon Brothers, there wasn't a whole lot of talking.
Yeah.
So he got to announce his presence with authority.
Yeah, and he's surprisingly, at least on the mic, I know it's like kind of charismatic in the way that he just, this crowd yelled what, but that's because that's what crowds do.
Well,
but still, he was able to keep it going, kept the flow going, felt really natural on the mic.
Exactly. Well, and of course he's able to do it because he's saying, I'm big and strong and tough, which he is.
But he isn't doing it in that stereotypical way of saying, I'm big, I'm bad.
It wasn't dumb, right. I poo-pooed it too much right there.
It's like, it reminded me of like, almost like a, trying to think of the word. My brain is going like superhero moves of like the villain, just like sadistic joy, and I've missed that. Just like the sadistic joy from
Minoru
the big
Suzuki.
Man. I mean, in promos that I can that like in WWE kind of thing, like Minoru Suzuki indeed does that. But like hearing Rowan, I almost said Roman. I apologize.
It's tricky.
Yeah, their names are very similar.
But hearing Rowan do that kind of thing and have such confidence. Is like it threw me off guard, and I was like, "Well, I'm sorry that I judged you."
Yeah,
you
know? And he's got the look of it, right? He's got the look.
Of course, he has the look. He's huge.
Well,
I'm agreeing
not just
with you
that
entirely.
The look, the beard adds this type of thing.
The metal T-shirt cut with sleeves out, the jeans,
and it adds this whole. Oh,
I'm not trying too hard. I just am big, strong, mean, all of it. Now, we also have, I'm going to kind of go through these next three things fairly quickly because there wasn't a whole lot going on there. Not that it wasn't entertaining. I found that 35 minutes or so between the Aleister Black, Shelton Benjamin, where it was kind of a squash, it was good. That's where Aleister's going. So I know you didn't like that.
I did not like it because it has proven to me that Vince McMahon sees Shelton Benjamin nothing but a jobber anymore.
Ouch. Okay.
Well, that's certainly.
And the fact that he is probably, how old is Shelton? He's probably like 38.
I wouldn't say that.
I understand where you're coming from on that, with the fear of Shelton being pushed down, but at this point in Shelton's career, he's a little bit older, he's been around. I don't see him getting rejuvenated in this company. And I feel like they did give him that a little bit of a showcase match last week, and they took advantage of that because they're pushing Aleister as a heel. As not a heel, as a force
to be that's, reckoned
with. That anti-hero. Can't
be not just that, just a force that can't be dealt yes. with. And so everybody that gets in a ring with Aleister for right now is
my
is food.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm guessing my problem was it could have been so much. It could have been so much more, and that was my problem.
Right, and if they were having that match after Aleister's lost a couple, then sure, they let Shelton have some offense and all that. But I don't think anybody gets to have offense with Aleister till we get to a pay-per-view. Because I think that's the story we're telling is this guy is unbeatable. Yeah. And that's okay. Now we're going to move on to Shinsuke and Sammy. It was a squash. They had a jobber out there. Like, literally, they
picked
a local talent guy up.
His name was Loke Al Talent.
I don't think that's his name.
I like it, though. I like it.
He should consider it.
I think he should go with it. Yes, absolutely, because that's what got him to the WWE.
He gets the job done.
Now, Shinsuke walks out. Sammy's his sidekick. Did we enjoy Sammy doing the Leo Rush?
Well, I believe if Sammy does that during, like, actual title matches, then I
you don't want that at Clash of Champions.
I don't want him to do it during actual matches. That means something. But if this was just a one-off, a one-time thing, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Or whenever he faces guys that aren't that great.
Yeah, he faced basically Ultimo Jobin.
Right. And then
El Generico.
You can take that to another level, too, is let's say he's on a SmackDown, just a normal SmackDown. He's wrestling a guy that he's supposed to be walking over, and he's not exactly. The guy gets a little bit of offense. Sammy can drop the mic, jump in there, and they can pummel the guy. And, you know, those kind of things that you can do with that. But anyway, it was a quick walkover.
Yeah, I don't know if they – I want them to push Shinsuke as a type of Brock Lesnar threat because, you know, Shinsuke is threatening in his own way. He knows MMA and
he's the King of Strong Style.
He knows MMA. He's been in MMA for a while.
In our opinion, he should be the King of Midcard if he's going to be stuck there.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Now, what we're going to move to now is the King of the Ring tournament, because that was the thing that happened prior to these. And we had Elias versus Gable. No, that's what we're going to wind up with. I'm sorry, I just spoiled the whole thing. We had
Elias versus Ali, I believe.
Elias versus Ali. What did we think about that?
I thought it was Elias's best match. Now I'm going to use this.
He had two good matches in a row.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to say, one thing that I don't like now is Elias's new Titantron and theme song. I just find it super generic.
And I'm sure that influenced the entire match.
No,
itself. Zero stars out of 10. Please, Elias, leave the... No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but that match was really good. Yeah.
It was really, really good. Really good. And it
was a surprise victory by Elias.
It was. And we thought that they were going to do more with Ali. Now, let's think about it this way in terms of the King of the Ring tournament, in theory, is to build stars. Did they do enough with Ali to produce a star out of him? Did people who watched this tournament look at Ali differently than they did before?
The crowd definitely was behind him the entire way, though. Well, I will say that.
But you're not your average fan. You've watched 205 Live. You know his body of work a lot better than a lot of people do, right?
Yes, I believe that Ali is... You can just bring him back. I'm sorry, I might be a little far from the mic. But you can just bring him back anytime you want to. You can do these things that you can't do with normal wrestlers. I'm not trying to downgrade every other wrestler, but you can just put Ali in the ring and you can just see him do all these flips and you'll say, wow, he's so good. He's the man.
Right. And so then, winning and losing isn't as big a deal to you.
No, it is not. It's like Joe. But Joe's a bit
different. But the same.
Same
result, different character. Result, different.
I will say, though, like, it did make a bit of a star out of him, definitely. I would say with the regular, like, with the crowd who just watched SmackDown, just watches, like, the main stuff doesn't go on, like, the network or anything. I still do worry, though, about Ollie's thing. And yeah, Ray has the point of you can bring him back whenever, but, you can only hear the underdog story so many times before it gets grating and annoying, and then you're saying, okay, now you're just saying it to say it, and you just walk away. That's like a problem that I
I'm trying to think of the guy who did it. I'll probably think about it in the middle of the podcast and yell it out right at this point.
Go ahead.
But, no, I can't think of his name is the problem.
But you can whenever it pops up.
Yeah, when I do, I will immediately say his name and bring it up.
Right.
Because this, like, it's a problem that storytelling just has in general. It's like some, like, TV shows where you're like, okay, buddy, just, you're like, I'll beat the odds, beat, and then you keep on seeing him lose and lose and lose. You're like,
Ash Ketchum?
No, no, that is no. Anyway, anyways.
Okay, let's move on to the other King of the Ring match. What did we have?
We had Gable versus Andrade.
What did we think?
I did not believe in that the person who won was the correct. I wanted Andrade to win this entire thing. Once Drew lost, I said, okay, now it's Andrade. But now that Gable won, if there was a babyface I would have win this, it would definitely be Gable.
But now, taking that out, taking the concept of who you wanted to win the whole tournament out, what did you think about the match itself?
I thought the match was great. Yeah. I thought it was best match of the night.
Nick?
I agree with them saying it's the best match of the night. It was like it showcased Andrade's strength, showcased a lot of Chad. That crowd just went nuclear for Chad more than anyone else that
they've begun to believe.
Yeah, because it's a thing. And also, as soon as someone mentioned the short joke to him, like right before the match, I'm like, okay, Gable's just going to win the entire thing, isn't he?
Yeah. Right. And well, yeah.
He needs it. The thing is, like, I would say that I think that Gable needs it if we're going to have him actually get a push, because his whole shtick is very, very, and it's a problem that I've kind of had with Gable ever since I started watching. It's very middling. It's like, he's just there. He was Bobby Roode's other guy, and he was the Kurt Angle, like, you know, I'm going to be like Kurt Angle guy. So we need him to garner some kind of.
But to piggyback on that statement, they did. He has put a couple of Kurt Angle moves into his repertoire.
Definitely, yeah.
Which is neat. They had a spot in this match where Andrade's doing the Three Amigos. And then right before he gets the third one, Gable flips it and does the suplexes, bang, 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 right in a row. And it was really cool. And then he goes and he does the back somersault onto him, which are both Kurt Angle hallmarks, and it was cool. I enjoyed it.
And one other reason why people go crazy for Chad is he's relatable. You know, he's got a normal name. He's not really looks like a normal person. He looks like
he's very well built, but he's smaller. God. Right.
But you know, he's small enough to where you can feel bad for him if he loses. And
you can think of, like, I've never, like, thought of the term baby face, more like, you know, emphasis on the baby face than I have with Chad Gable.
right. All right, moving right along. The next thing we want to talk about, if we're rewinding, is the Randy Orton promo, which led to Kofi coming out. And do you want to talk about that, Ray, what you saw?
I saw Randy Orton. Randy Orton went out and did his promo. It was a great promo, as always. Randy Orton,
he's a mean meanie.
Yeah, Randy Orton seems to care more about this than SummerSlam. You can never tell, really, with Randy. But Randy, he said, come out, Kofi, we'll have a fight. And
that's when Kofi got dragged out by
the Revival.
Yes, the boys.
Top guys, top boys.
FTRKO.
I really hope that's their actual official thing or not just something they just put on Twitter.
I think they're just saying it's them, so it's got to be them because they're in charge of them.
Yeah.
And anyway, they pummel Kofi. They take him down to the ring. They pummel him more. They stand over him. Very
and one,
heelish.
And one little, and one got their point across. You didn't see. There was a bit of red stuff on Kofi's hand. I don't know if that was just T-shirt part or something. But what I saw a little Skittles. Red stuff on Kofi's hand.
Yeah, I saw that too. I think that might have been blood or something.
Yeah.
You got cut, huh?
Yeah, I got cut.
Sure wasn't Skittles?
Baby! Referencing but that
he
Skittles commercial.
He currently has no help. And so it's fair game. Not fair game's the wrong term. Mm. It's open game on Kofi Kingston right now because he doesn't have any backup. And for the first time, there's nobody there to protect him. And we've got
it's hunting season.
A vicious viper on the alert. And that's fun. And it's leading us into this. And it's the biggest challenge Kofi's had to date. It's big time. And then we had Fire and Desire versus Alexa, Nikki, what did we think?
Fire and Desire need those women's tag team belts because they will, because they, they're, like, they've been a tag team since day one. They've...
It would be nice if, yes, you're considering it would be nice if the tag team champs in a wrestling company were actually a tag team.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Nikki and Alexa have been slowly growing to be an actual tag team at this point. Correct. They've been growing themselves.
Nikki's more of a co-show host.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, you're right on that fact.
He's funny.
But yeah, that you're right on that, like I said. But again, they've been growing as a tag team. They've been doing really well. And frankly, I've kind of gotten behind them as a tag team.
I like them.
Now, would I like Fire and Desire to win? I wouldn't mind it. Right. Granted, like, it's like, yeah, that's cool.
And Alexa doesn't need a belt.
Alexa doesn't need a belt. And Nikki was tied with Alexa, so it's all right. But the thing is, and the problem that I'm having with this entire tag team division of the women's division anyway right now, is the lack of storylines that there are, because nobody seems to want to write anything. So you have all these fun and great matches sometimes, but nothing really, you're just kind of like, oh, that was cool. And then you just kind of look away.
I think there's a big problem, and we'll dabble in this in another episode. Vince might have too many titles than he can actually, you know, deal with.
And here's the thing that I'm thinking about, like, even if we give the belts to Fire and Desire, even if we give them to the Kabuki Warriors that everyone's been begging to give them to them, what if it's the same situation as Alexa and Nikki, where they just have the belts and nothing really happens?
Well, the other thing is, too, if it's not Alexa and Nikki, then there's no television show for them to tell any story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so then what do we have? Because they don't tend to give, like, they didn't give the Iconics kind of got less screen time after they won the title than the lead up, too. They were getting to do the comedy shticks every program until they were the champs.
The bright sign about giving it to Alexa and Nikki is at least Alexa has, like, is always doing a different talk
show
every week.
She's got a TV show, right.
So every time, you can see them every single time. Then she can sometimes provoke people. Sometimes she's just in the background. But at least you know that the belts are there.
Which lends to my theory that when NXT moves to Wednesday nights on USA, I don't know if I told you all this. But if I am, this is breaking news.
Ooh.
I wish we would get an all women's hour long show on the network. It doesn't have to be on Wednesday night. They've got the talent. They have the talent and they have the time. They could easily tell you stories about the tag team divisions and start rivalries in and out. And there's no reason why you can't do that. And you still have your top four singles wrestlers, and you can still have your tag team matches on the big shows, but you can set those things up and you can have a women's tag team match that doesn't involve the title to get to the title.
Yeah.
Which you don't have time for that now on your shows.
Yeah.
But I digress.
But the thing is that I would argue that you could also edit out some time that has been kind of wasted, but
let's just, As a small thing, these last 5 hours were good television.
They were good television. Again, if you look at the matches themselves and the quality of matches, they're still good. People just don't like the way that they're turning out because they're just either A, too focused on like the end result, or they're like saying, well, what does this have to do with any storyline because you haven't written anything for them?
Right. Now,
and an ending can ruin a match.
I disagree about that.
Let's move on to that. Now, I don't know, did I touch on the 24/7 title? Because we had like 9 title changes real quick. I think Maverick got 2 title reigns tonight. Is that right? 2 title reigns tonight.
Yes.
And then Bo Dallas got his first.
Yes.
Yeah.
He got his first.
And then
happened before and after Shinsuke's match. It was fun. Nice and quick. And that's another thing about SmackDown that I love is you do have that.
Man.
A little shtick here and there, comedy. And
man, remember when R-Truth Bo Dallas was the NXT champion?
Snuck up on him and all that. Yeah.
And yes. He also held the most entertaining championship of WWE. That's a step up, ladies and gentlemen.
Step up. Now, we're going to get to the biggest thing in wrestling right now that is in the WWE, which was Bayley's heel turn. And we're going to have to flip kind of into Raw and then go back into the beginning of SmackDown in order to make it make sense. How did Bayley wind up turning heel on Raw?
Bayley.
Well, first of all, it was the women's champion showcase. And we had Becky and Bayley, the Raw and SmackDown champs, versus Nikki and Alexa. Again, showing that at least they're on TV.
Right.
Yeah, but
those two are going at it. They're having a pretty good match. And then Sasha shows up halfway through right at the commercial break. And then they keep on going and wrestling, keep on wrestling, 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 until Bayley's just getting thrown around at one point. I don't remember at what point, but then she gets the hot tag on Becky. Becky comes in, starts, you know, cleaning house.
And quickly, let me say quickly, Bayley's really performing well in the ring right now.
Oh, yeah.
The last few times we've seen her in the ring, she's done really well.
Yeah, I believe back. She wants to prove something after that Ember Moon thing.
Then
lackluster. Go.
So she's doing all that, and then randomly you got Sasha come in, just do the backstabber in high heels. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Lordy. And then, like, Becky's on the ground rolling around. She takes out, Sasha takes out a chair, starts whacking her in the back. And then Bayley gets in the way, says, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Pulls the chair from her.
Pulls the chair from her. And then she's holding the chair, looking at Becky, who's down. Slowly turns to Sasha. Slowly looks, gives her the most malicious looking, oh golly gee grin I've ever seen. Like, I have never seen like a Mr. Rogers smile look so, oh, like dreadful. And then she just starts wailing on poor Becky's back, and then the crowd goes nuts.
They went nuclear. But now, in fairness, they went nuclear, and reportedly after the show ended, here's the thing, folks, when you watch a heel turn on television and you go, oh my God, the crowd was so happy for that person to be a bad guy, live audiences always want a title change. They always want a heel turn. They always want to see something that is unexpected. As soon as they figured out what was going on, reportedly they booed her pretty good later on, because Becky's still Becky. But of course, when Bayley goes heel, the awe, the moment, I mean, she's the most sweet, wonderful, but you also, unless you're Cody.
Yeah, okay, yeah. you still, though, want that boo at the end of the day if you're being heel, so, you know, mission accomplished there, Bayley.
Right. Oh, it worked perfectly. Now, we start off SmackDown tonight with Bayley in the ring, and Bayley informs us that she's teaching us about loyalty. She's always been a good person. She's still a good person. She was helping to defend her friend who was somehow in danger and jeopardy when she was pummeling Becky with a chair.
Yeah.
And then Becky was laying there unable to move, and she had the chair and then continued to defend Sasha vigorously by pounding Becky in the back with the chair more.
Listen, man, if your friend has not beat someone with a chair, then you don't know true loyalty.
Right. Okay. Now, then, of course, Charlotte comes out and says, see?
Listen.
First of all, when you're talking about me, you get what you get what you think you're getting. I am who I say I am. I'm not a liar.
You know, a thought occurs to me in regards to this Bayley thing. I remember Cody had these, like, words about Bayley. It's kind of like, it's about Bayley, but it's totally not about Bayley, about how she fakes the smiles all the time. Is this them kind of playing along with that idea?
Well, what's interesting about what you're saying, and I don't know, like, where, who knows where ideas spring from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Butterfly effects, whatever you want to call them. But they gave us the seeds with Bayley a little while ago. You know, they had her do a couple things here and there, which were sort of shady, but not really. And then, you know, she pushes Charlotte out of the chair the other day when Charlotte's just talking. There's no reason for confrontation. So there was a little something there. I wish she would have kind of said something more about the Sasha stuff, but that wasn't the story we were telling tonight. The story we were telling tonight was funny, and it was also setting up Charlotte to come out, which of course Charlotte does come out, says her thing. Bayley says, I'm the same person I've always been. I'm just loyal, blah, blah, blah. Sasha comes out. Before Sasha can get to the ring, Charlotte takes the initiative, attacks Bayley. Bayley doesn't do well in that attack. Sasha jumps her. And of course, Bayley, who is in the middle of a 2-on-1 confrontation, decides to be loyal to her friend again, get another chair, and pummel Charlotte, share her chair with her good friend out of loyalty as they pummel Charlotte more and more and more. It was great, right?
Yeah, and also a little fun little, like, I guess a hint about it is that Bayley and Sasha were both wearing the old Boss and Hug Connection
gear. Because they are the Boss and Hug Connection.
They're okay. Back, but in a different way. I love it.
I'm sorry, but I need to see an edit of Bailey and Sasha Banks pummeling Charlotte with a chair with people telling me about my best friend playing over the
Okay, so we love the fact that Bailey finally went heel, correct?
Yeah, like okay. I do yeah. really think this is going to help Chef's women's kiss. The women's division a lot.
Chef's kiss.
Moving right along. Now we had, as we're going reverse through Raw, Cesaro takes on The Miz. What did we think about that?
Forgettable.
I'm not blown away by The Miz being a good guy. He's in the ring to me with one of the best guys in the mid-card.
He's the best heel.
I don't have anything good to say about that match. And it's not that it was awful. It just was there.
Forgettable.
Yeah. Like
worst segment of the show.
That is very powerful words. I disagree. I think it is forgettable, though, I will say. And I Cesaro does good work. And The Miz is also a really good worker. But, again, it is a thing where I'll say when there's no real... I mean, you knew Miz had to win because, like, you know, trying to build up Miz as a possible thing to fight Shinsuke and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's just without...
Predictable and now, forgettable.
Let's move on to probably match of the month. Corbin and Cedric Alexander.
Yes! But actually, it was good, though.
It was very, very good. We laugh,
but it actually was pretty good.
It was very, very good. And Corbin is putting out good work. He is. And he's doing it with multiple guys. And when I say Corbin is putting out good work, it's not for fair Corbin. To the guy he was in the ring with, because part of the reason why he's putting out good work is Cedric Alexander's the bomb. And Corbin is always in the ring with a guy that can go. Because of the way they book him. And he loses a lot of those. But by the same token, he's always in the ring with great wrestlers. And this was a great wrestling match, right? I really enjoyed it. Cedric is fantastic. He's just not quite big enough to deal with Corbin, which makes sense. He also got injured
earlier by the OC.
The OC jumped him earlier.
And Cesaro the week before.
We'll get to that a little bit. Well, we won't get to that particular jumping, but we'll get to why the OC was running roughshod over everybody backstage in a little bit too. Corbin goes over. We really enjoyed the match, correct?
It was a good match.
Okay. Now we're going to go to I'll just say it. I thought it was a banger.
It was.
I also thought Ricochet versus Joe was a banger.
That was my match of the night, to be honest. That's why I just loved that match to death. Those two went at it.
I could watch them wrestle every day.
It was 10 times better than Baron Corbin. Not saying that it was bad. It was just 10 times better.
I don't think 10
I don't have a problem with that. But well, I don't. Yeah, that's Sean fine. I don't have a problem with that. Now, the finish was weird.
The finish, I thought, made me kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
Didn't like that finish.
I don't like finishes non-decisive winner.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that even though it was a non-decisive finish, it is the best kind of, like, non-decisive
Both
finish.
Guys unconscious.
It isn't like a thing where it's like shenanigans. It isn't a thing. It's where the two are just so evenly matched and they are able to, like, keep up with each other, like, beat for beat for beat, that they just collapse out of exhaustion.
That's fine. That's okay with me. I don't mind it if two guys are pummeling each other outside of the ring and they can't get back in. I don't want to see that every match, but if it happens every now and then, I don't mind it. I don't really want a title exchange or something. But, you know, but again, I didn't have a problem with it. And I'll tell you one big reason why I didn't have a problem with it, because it gives me a triple threat.
Yeah.
It got us to that bracket of the King of the Ring is Ricochet versus Joe versus Corbin. Can't wait.
Because they didn't.
I hope they give him 15 minutes. I hope they give him three commercials.
What were you going to say? Say it.
What, buddy?
No, say it. Say it.
What? Say it, Ray.
Okay.
That's the whole reason why we had the show.
Yeah, talk.
Because they gave Baron Corbin, they gave Samoa Joe and Ricochet to Baron Corbin so he could have a match that could qualify for the semifinals.
I do not think
so. You're mad at the match prior to it being wrestled.
I'm not mad at the match.
Okay.
This is again a part of my problem with saying I already have my opinion about the match before the match even happens.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but you're giving me the whole alluded. Sit back and I'm going to judge you.
Alluded.
It you can tell by the alluded. Tone in your brain that you already made your opinion.
But that's all right. You're the go home kid. That's what you do.
I never said
you don't that have to say it to like have it done. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is at the end of the day. I don't care who wins the match because either way they're going up against Chad, I think. Not to spoil Gable versus Elias, but I think that's where they're going. But
I think that's going to end up being Joe versus Gable, because and end with Gable on
because
top
of the promo we got tonight
at SmackDown.
They kind of told us, right?
Yeah,
and I like it. Yeah. And I would love for Gable to go over. I would like for Gable to go over, and then for Joe to take that crown and pull it all the way down over his head onto his throat.
Yeah, and even if Corbin, even if Corbin wins, that's still going to be a fun thing seeing Corbin, the tall, huge Corbin versus Gable.
And hey, if Ricochet's wrestling Gable,
oh,
give me a half hour back up. You know, get him a ladder. Put that crown on top of a ladder. Let's go. Okay, now we're going to move to, now who did Rudolph wrestle? I remember it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Who'd they wrestle?
Glorious Arrogance wrestled Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
And it was really good. Zach Those two Ryder, guys can work.
I never thought Zack Ryder ever got his due. I still love his pants.
Kurt Hawkins can go.
Oh, Kurt Hawkins never got his due either. But I always thought that I love that Zack Ryder on his pants, it says, "I'm still here." That is hilarious.
And congratulations for still being there, Nick.
You know, you're getting that, getting your money for it. Yeah, it was good. It's pretty good.
Okay, now we're going to go straight to, we're going to wrap this thing up because the beginning of the show, we have Seth, Braun.
And the OC.
We have Seth and Braun doing.
The OC.
Yes, but they're doing a
contract signing.
Oh, we forgot the War Raiders, by the way.
War Raiders had a walkover.
It was a squash match, yeah, and War Raiders looked good.
It's just, of course they did.
I do want to say this, and the reason why I bring this up is because I'm just getting tired of seeing those squash matches with the War Raiders. Like, the first couple weeks, like, I get it. We're trying to build them up. But now it's just like, now it's clear that you have no idea what you're going to do with them. Trying to remind us that they're there.
I think they're saving
them. What are you
them.
Talking about? It's not like there's any title that we can build up in advance.
I think they're saving them because they're telling a totally different story right now with the title.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. You know what I mean? I think they're going to get to the War Raiders. I think they're protecting them. And eventually we're going to have the War Raiders and the OC and maybe even Rudolph in a big time.
Rudolph.
We're wrestling. It's a play. Yeah. I pray that's where we go. But anyway,
let's
so
go back to the front.
We're doing a contract signing. It's about to get signed. AJ comes out with his crew, the OC. They run their mouths a little bit.
AJ busts the promo of his life.
He did. He really laid into him about, and I liked it. We all liked the promo, right? Go ahead.
I liked the promo, but I cringed when he said kawaii.
Yeah, that's the part of the joke.
And
though,
left
so.
The E out. I know it's part of the joke, but it still hurt.
Yes, but okay, and so then it's obvious they're going to square off. Braun takes the table, throws it, and eliminates Michael Cole with the table on accident.
Okay, may I also
which was awesome.
Add, may I also add, I loved Michael Cole saying, AJ, you can't, and AJ said, shut your mouth. I'll knock your teeth down your throat.
Right. That's heel work. They brawl. We have a match. It's a pretty doggone good match between Seth, Braun, the OC.
I also wanted to say this. It's boss time. Shut your mouth. I'm going to shut your...
All right.
Okay,
all
and
right.
so then...
Teeth down your throat.
And so then it winds up with all kind of crazy stuff going on outside the ring. Seth's doing pretty good. Braun decides he's going to get in on the action. He does this thing where he runs around the ring, which if you watch wrestling, you've seen it. He takes out one guy. He takes out another guy. Oops, he plows over Seth, which puts Seth on the ground. And, of course, then comes out Rudolph, which is Bobby Roode, Robert Roode.
I like to call
and
them
Dolph Ziggler.
I like
they
to
come
call
out,
them a Glorious Arrogance.
Glorious Arrogance, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. And they all jump Seth and Braun, beat them up pretty good, and... That's how that ends. We go into the next match. Now, the important part of that is that Seth and Braun now have a contract signing with a different... After this happens, Stone Cold Steve Austin tweets out, Michael Cole's not good at doing contract signings. Maybe I ought to do it. We're at the Garden next week. Stone Cold returns to the Garden. He's going to supervise the thing. Are we excited about that?
Yes, because as we have said... This might be the time for The Fiend, because The Fiend, the Firefly Funhouse, he said he was challenging Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman.
Exactly.
Seth Rollins or Braun Strowman for that Universal belt.
This whole thing goes to Fiend versus the winner of that match.
Yes, and he is going to lock in Stone Cold with that mandible claw, that vicious mandible claw,
and that takes The Fiend to another level, because it's not old, broken down old guys anymore.
Yeah.
He took out Stone Cold. And if he takes out Stone Cold, nobody's off limits. Because that's, I mean, Stone Cold is literally the most important person this company has ever developed. And if you get to take him out, there's no higher bar. You know, even The Rock takes, Stone Cold don't take bumps anymore. He just doesn't. The Rock's taking bumps. He's wrestled in matches more recently than Stone Cold does. So this is a big deal if this does happen. Now, we don't know if it's going to happen, but it's got to happen.
We hope it happens.
We do. We do. Now, that's what we're going for. That's what we're hoping for. Now, The Fiend has said, Bray has said on his Funhouse, I get the winner of this. I think later on in a future episode, we're going to tell you what we hope happens. We're going to fantasy book. We're going to let the Go Home Heat kid tell us a little more about what he wants to have happen, which will be some form of Seth losing the belt. Now, I'm KP. This has been a Go Home Heat production. Signing off for Lit Nick, Go Home Heat Kid Ray, 2019 copyright.
Go home.